You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They had issues with ethnicity, not with race, because most of the Nazis were white people, and most of the people they were attacking were white people. So to me, I'm thinking, how can you say it's about race if you are fighting each other? So it all really began because I said, how will we explain to children what happened in Nazi Germany? This wasn't racial. This was about white on white.
That is Whoopi Goldberg, co-host of The View, although now in suspension for her remark that the Holocaust was not a race issue. See, she is making the most fundamental mistake that is made by many who claim they know what racism is. To them, racism has to be based on color of skin. If your skin is white, and I'm white, and we're fighting, we can't be racial. The hell we can't. But the problem is, it's just easier to qualify that because it fits the overall progressive narrative that this is a country built on slavery, blacks, and built on a systemic racism which prevails. And Whoopi Goldberg actually got challenged on her own program, The View, by the other guest, two white women, who were saying, well, it was about race. And she said, no, it was not. They were white people fighting white people. That's not racism. She also wants you to believe, apparently, that the only slave masters must be white. Does she not have any knowledge of the history of the world in the days of the Old Testament or prior to that? Or does she not have any knowledge about the history of warring tribes in Africa and what they did to each other? It was race. Oh, no, it couldn't have been. They were both black and white. Well, they were racist, and the black were plantation, quote, owners over other blacks at that time. And it goes all the way back to Nero. It goes back to Rome. I mean, it's time immortal. She is sensing knowledge. I need to be re-educated, I guess, and learn. I'll never do it again. That wouldn't be so sure. She'll do it in a different fashion. But what it does is highlight and dramatize that we have too many in this nation that are going to make race everything, constantly race baiting. You cannot disagree with me. You must be a racist. When are we going to put a stop to that? I have told this audience before, those of you who have been with me for a long time, you know, I've said, I naively thought when I was a teenager that, oh, racism would be done in 20 years or less. No, racism still exists. It's taken different forms. And racism also includes black on yellow crime, on Asian crimes. They do not want that reported a lot. But yes, many times black hoodlums are taking advantage of Asians and Jewish. Oh, but they might be white. But you do know there are black Jews that consider themselves the original Israelites. Also, we're going to be later this hour going to hear from Christopher Wray, former FBI director, said he is absolutely blown away by the security threat China poses to the U.S. and to the world as we get ready to open the Beijing Olympics. And we're going to be joined by Cullen Sully of the Heritage Foundation, dealing with an issue that Cully Stimson, on how we have gotten to the point where we simply don't really care to fight crime, not in the way progressives have handcuffed police and these Soros-funded district attorneys, one in St. Louis City County area, St. Louis City, and elsewhere, but particularly in New York. Wait till you hear the list of the crimes you can get away with in New York. They will not arrest you. If they do arrest you, they will quickly release you because they don't have any bail or low bail. In other words, we don't care about law and order, except my protection. We are broadcasting live, lock and load, ready on the air, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The scale of their hacking program and the amount of personal and corporate data that their hackers have stolen is greater than every other country combined. The scale of their hacking program and the amount of personal and corporate data that their hackers have stolen is greater than every other country combined.
Well, he repeated himself, but that's all right. He's Christopher Wray, former FBI director, said the scale of their hacking is absolutely shocking to me. He's talking about the Chinese and their ability to hack into everything we have, and especially with the Beijing Olympics coming up this Friday. The opening ceremonies are this Friday. And what he is saying is at the same time that China, here's the way he puts it in real perspective. Imagine if during World War II, Hitler had the intel capacity that we now have through Silicon Valley and related type groups, both in the U.S. and around the world. If the Soviets had had that kind of intel activity and ability to evade and invade and cyber hack and get information about our troops and our movements, you would be speaking German. Heil Hitler every day. Or perhaps Japanese, depending upon that movie, The Man in the High Castle, which assumes that the U.S. lost the war, and in fact, then that the Japanese were given the western half of the U.S. and the eastern half of the U.S. went to the Germans. But the Germans were not content with just that. They wanted to have the entire country. And in between, there was a no man's land, what we would call now, I guess, flyover country. But they wanted to expand and take over China as well, and had plans to do so. So China has, we know, all of the intel aimed at every country it considers a threat and an enemy. I mean, and a friend, I should say. China's intel, we have discussed in great detail before. I've had various experts on talking about their ability to get into things that you wouldn't think they would be able to. Well, part of the problem is, maybe a big part, is that we have allowed them. We gave them the key. Hell, we gave them the lock that we put on the door and the key that goes with it. I'm talking about chips. Chips. We have relied upon China so much to mass produce these chips. And we have no idea what kind of things they have put inside those chips. Be it for use for your phone, your car, utility plants. Is that frightening to you? It certainly should be. And, of course, now going into the Beijing Olympics, all the players are being told from the U.S., do not take your personal phone nor cell phone or your laptop, because it will most surely be compromised. I know there are going to be some that just don't believe that. They're going to go and do it anyway, and before they know it, they're going to find themselves a victim of some kind of hacking, maybe just personal information, maybe bank codes, things of that nature. But it may go deeper, because hacking into one might lead to another, to another, to another. I mean, it is a pyramid scheme. If we can get into here, then all of this opens up to us. Before I go back to Christopher Ray for a moment, I want to remind you we are now live streaming Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Yeah, back on camera for you again. Looking really good. Mature. Knowledgeable. Yeah, well, maybe not so much that. But it gives me a chance to relate to you directly as I used to for 50 years almost as a TV broadcaster. In this case, on Larry Connors USA YouTube, you get to see exactly how we're doing this program. And sometimes you see behind the scenes, it's, well, it might be like watching sausage made. You might not want to watch that part, but it happens on the screen occasionally. But China, again, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, acknowledging is our biggest threat. Our biggest threat. And he's absolutely shocked by what he's found.
This one blew me away. And I'm not the kind of guy that uses words like blown away easily. We are investigating, opening a new China-related counterintelligence investigation. About every 12 hours, we probably have over 2,000 of those investigations.
2,000. When they are carrying out all of these investigations, that means that they've got some snippet of information that might be leading to an intel leak somewhere. The New York Times just today, I say a couple of weeks ago, put out a headline, Biden looks to Intel's U.S. investment to buoy his, to lift up his China agenda. In other words, he was already turning to the U.S. Intel and say, what can we do to make China like us better? We'll open more doors for them, give them more parts, give them more information. Now, that probably, I assume, is not really his intent. These guys, they play the long-range game. You give me anything, I will stay with it. And we do not know how many Chinese spies are in this country. The one located that had been made a big case involving Congressman Swalwell, now in the House Democrat Intel Committee, having sexual relations with a Chinese spy. And she also apparently approached numerous mayors across the Midwest. Their names have not been made public. They probably ended up not being that valuable to them. The FBI became aware and notified all of them. She doesn't just like you. Your smile, your laughter, your engaging personality. She likes what you do and how to get into the information you have. And with Swalwell, she had a gold mine because he ends up being elected to Congress. And she's been there with him since he was a mayor. And he goes into Congress, and Nancy Pelosi appoints him to the House Intel Committee. And we have yet to have a single hearing on why he still remains on the House Intel Committee. They are going to investigate everyone that happened to walk into the Capitol on January 6th, but we're not interested in finding out what kind of information this woman might have gotten from him. Or anything else that might unveil things, such as the red-handed book out now by Schweitzer, detailing the Biden-Hunter commitments and allegations and commitments and monies exchanged between China, Russia, Ukraine, and the Biden family. China has a plan, according to a publication known as Hardware, China planning to create a committee to collaborate with Intel agencies. Oh, yeah, they got a long-range plan, like I said. And in this, they plan to create a committee to collaborate all their intel moving forward. And when I say they're going to collaborate, they really mean they're going to get in a position where they can come in the room and steal. They're not there to collaborate to help you. They're there to steal what you have and use it. And yesterday I had a guest explain clearly with no hesitation, in the most candid way he could say, China and Russia are becoming closer linked. China is closely watching how Russia is being handled, reference Ukraine, and they gotta like it. Yes, I know today came word that the president was going to send more troops into the area. They're not going to be boots on the ground in Ukraine. But it's another tail wagging the dog situation. Let's distract people over here, show them we're doing something. And China supporting Russia and Russia supporting China regarding Taiwan and Hong Kong. And Russia has more sophistication in some of their weapons than the Chinese do. So they're stealing from the Russians as well. And the Russians know it, and they're trying to be careful with that as well. But this new organization of collaboration, establishing a domestic chip supply chain to circumvent sanctions the U.S. has imposed upon China, which means it's going to be harder and harder to get chips. Not that you really want them from China, but if you're going to need them, there's where you go. And then, of course, there are the Chinese in this country that are upset because they say, we're being targeted because we're yellow. The FBI is looking at us as possible terrorists and Chinese spies just because we're yellow. And maybe we're going to one of the universities. Maybe we're part of Asian studies. Well, Christopher Wray wants to put that concern aside.
We don't investigate anyone based on race or ethnicity or constitutionally protected activity. In fact, in many cases, Chinese Americans are some of the people most victimized by the Chinese government's tactics that we're describing.
That is true, but it's also incorrect when he says we don't discriminate based on these issues he listed. Well, according to the Department of Justice, Attorney General Merrick Garland, you do investigate such cases if they are, dare I say it, parents. Parents going to school board meetings and shouting and upset, saying, I want to know what the hell you're teaching my children and how often, and I want to put a stop to that. I want to put a stop to these mask mandates. I want to put a stop to CRT training, teaching my children to hate each other because of the color of the skin or feel guilty because of it. And then also within that conframe of mask mandates, word coming out today, and we're going to get into it in more detail in the next hour. All of these lockdowns that we've been under, the restrictions, a latest research by Johns Hopkins University says they didn't really amount to anything. They were pretty much useless. You might as well spit into the wind, because they had no real value nor effect except terrifying the hell of the nation and making people panic and slander others who they thought were violating all of this. And then we have the issue of law and order coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
And I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You remember the four boxes that you had that we had on all the TVs, right? Which is on my TV right now. So right now, just to give you a sense, so CNN, Pentagon, as many as 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert. Okay, true. Same on MSNBC. CNBC is doing their own thing about the market. And then on Fox is Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean, right? So there's an alternate universe on some coverage. What's scary about it is a lot of people watch that.
Yeah, that's Jen Psaki. We played it yesterday. I wanted to play it again because she's kind of laughing and mocking about all the concerns about violence, saying it's not that bad. All the other networks, they're looking at the real important things, Ukraine and maybe inflation and maybe the Canadian truckers, whatever, but not crime. And crime impacts you directly, and you have every right to be frightened because of the way we are handling things. I've got a guest coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk about some of these prosecutors and crimes. But here is Psaki saying that remark. Let me read something to you. At least 30 police law enforcement officers shot last month. Last month, that's up 67% from January 2021. Five of the 30 shot in line were killed. And those responses and remarks coming from stats being compiled by the National Fraternal Order of Police, and they're saying, once again, it's the worst we've seen, and they're saying, we cannot do our job, we cannot reduce crime if we're handcuffed. And they are. And New York Congressman Zeldin, who's running for governor in New York now, says Psaki and that attitude, that laughter, that's stupidity.
It's no laughing matter when people get pushed into an incoming train in the subway and they end up losing their life as a result. The small business in New York City that has to go out of business because just too many people are walking in and stealing too much out the door, no consequences. People who are getting punched in the face because they're Asian or because they're Jewish. So we know what the policies are. We know what the consequences are. But we don't have the will of many of these elected officials to do something about it.
No, we don't have the will. They just will not step forward and do it. You've got a new New York City mayor who was a cop. And he is saying, after this latest cop was shot, one just shot last night, going to survive. He said, these guys out there, they have no regard who they're trying to kill. New York City Mayor Eric Adams lashing out after another cop was shot last night, 22-year-old, off-duty. Suspects approached him on foot while he's at a traffic light inside his car. They're going to carjack him. Of course, he fired back. They fired at him. And today we're having the funeral for the and the paying of the final respects to Officer Wilbert Mora, one of two officers who died in an ambush earlier this month. And once again, we've got officers from across the nation and around the world in New York City for a procession to honor someone who's willing to stand the gap between you and the thugs. Now we need to deal with the prosecutors and their lack of activity. And I've got a guest coming up that says it's frightening and getting worse.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A guest we've had on before, and he and his colleague Zach Smith at the Heritage Foundation have been working for some time on the problems we're having with the Soros-funded district attorney spread across the country. Charles Cully Stimson, widely recognized expert in national security, homeland security, crime control, and this investigation they've been doing for some time with the rogue prosecutors. It's a part of a series they've been doing for some time, and it included previously the prosecutor for the St. Louis City area, as well as Boston, Chicago, Philly, Baltimore, San Fran. First of all, Cully, welcome back. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to be with us, because I'm looking at this latest report you guys put out today at the Heritage Foundation, and you were focusing on part in this one, I should say, focusing primarily on Manhattan's new district attorney. Now, this new district attorney and his policies, Alvin Bragg, we're already seeing the results, but let me step aside and give you a few moments to give us a thumbnail sketch.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, you were right. Zach and I, my co-author, have been writing and exposing the rogue prosecutor movement for about 2 years, and we wrote research papers on the funding, the purpose behind it, why they're doing what they're doing. They're very honest and open about it. And then doing individual blogs on rogue DAs funded by, directly or indirectly, by Soros and his cutout groups. And, of course, we profiled your lady there in St. Louis, Kim Gardner. And the latest one is Alvin Bragg in New York City. He's the Manhattan DA, and he's copycatting a lot of the playbook policies that are required of rogue prosecutors. Bragg took $1 million from Color of Change PAC. Color of Change PAC is funded by Soros. And we lay out in our blog on the Daily Signal all the crazy and dangerous things that are pro-criminal and anti-victim. And I think because the media is housed in L.A. and New York, all of a sudden the media and people in New York are like, whoa, 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 they're doing that here? And so you see the new police commissioner, who's an African-American woman, the new mayor, who's an African-American man, and former cop.
You said the New York City commissioner is a policewoman. Policewoman,
yeah.
Or are you talking about the mayor? Okay. I'm sorry.
I misunderstood. Both are against. Both have come out publicly.
Right.
About Bragg's pro-criminal policies, and he's getting a lot of pushback on it. So that's why we wanted to write about him.
Well, that's before you joined us. I was pointing out a report from the Fraternal Order of Police as to how bad it has gotten, in the sense that they've had so many shootings and so forth that they just don't think anyone is safe anymore. And police officers in particular, your chief of New York City being quoted as saying, you know, this is out of control. He's even publicly admitted as the police chief, he felt uncomfortable riding the New York City subways.
Yeah, of course. Why? Because when the DA, the moment he was elected, installed into office, sends a memo to all his prosecutors and says, these are the crimes we're not going to prosecute, tons of them, you know, from trespassing to resisting arrest to refusing to pay public fare, all traffic infractions, you name it, and then watering down most major felonies to misdemeanors, it's a crime-free, consequence-free zone. And so the cops can arrest people, but Alvin Bragg has already told his prosecutors, we're not going to keep these people in jail, even if they're arrested pending trial. So people who have been arrested for robbery or burglary or breaking and entering, carjacking, arson, kidnapping, larceny, all get out of jail. Actually, don't go to jail, even if they're arrested and they have charges pending. So this is a criminal. This is a criminal's happy place because the cops can arrest, but the DA is just not going to prosecute most of these cases.
And you're not telling the criminals something new. They already know it.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, I've been a prosecutor at the local, state, and federal level and in the military and a criminal defense attorney, and I loved all those jobs. Love my job as a judge. But, you know, we have a criminal justice system that's designed to have one side, the prosecutor, enforcing the laws as written in a fair way. The defense attorney protects the constitutional rights of the accused. The judge calls balls and strikes. These rogue prosecutors, all their policies are pro-criminal. So they're erasing that wall between the adversarial system, between the prosecutor and defense lawyer, and doing everything to favor the criminal. And it's outrageous. It's a violation of separation of powers, and it's resulting in murder, rape, and death in these cities where these rogue prosecutors have been elected.
Well, there's also the situation that even, and again, Soros, I mean, this, the intent behind this, well, let's just start there. What do you and all your studies between you and Zach Smith say, what's their end game for suddenly just saying, you know, we don't need any cops, we don't need people on the street, we need to defund police? And many have since realized, no, we got to put more money back into police. What's the end game? What do they have to gain out of it? They're not at threat, of course, because they can afford their own private security.
Right. So they're not shy about what is driving their pro-criminal policies. They've written about, they've paid people to write law review articles, or people have written law review articles on their own, defending and supporting the rogue prosecutor, what they call progressive prosecutor movement. One is they believe that the entire criminal justice system is, quote, systemically racist,
right,
unquote. It's not. Of course it's not. But they believe that, or at least they say that. And then secondly, to get rid of that systemic racism that they believe exists throughout the entire system, you have to, quote, fundamentally reverse engineer, unquote, this is their words, not mine, the entire criminal justice system. So they, for example, believe that, I mean, the extremists in this movement don't believe in any incarceration for any crimes at all.
Now, I'm going to go through some of those because this is going to frighten the people. You kind of detailed them briefly a moment ago, but the get out of free jail zone and maybe with low bail or no bail, according to Bragg, he's in his memo, there's a presumption of pretrial non-incarceration for robbery. Robbery, it means you're assaulting some person to take something from them, not breaking and entering. But burglary is what that would be, and that's also going to be allowed. Breaking and entering, carjacking, usually that scares the hell out of somebody, their car taken from them, because they're not going to give it up just because somebody said, will you hand you your keys, please? Not likely. Possession with intent to distribute any drug. Witness tampering, which puts an end to any possible prosecution. Domestic violence, arson, bribery, kidnapping, use of a child in sexual performance, child endangerment. These are the kinds of cases where there's a presumption of pretrial non-incarceration. Does that mean, quote, no bail, go free, come back when we say so?
Correct. That's exactly what it means. And so when you're working for Alvin Bragg, if you decide to sully your honor and stay in the role of the prosecutor and work in his office as an assistant district attorney, you can't stand in front of a judge or a magistrate judge, even though this guy may have a huge rap sheet, and say, Your Honor, the people respectfully request that you put a $500,000, $300,000, $200,000 or no bail and keep him in jail pending trial. Any of those charges you listed, which are in his memo, you just have to stand there like a deaf mute and say nothing. And
well, very quickly, what was it? Does a judge very quickly? Does a judge not have the ability to overrule and make a declaration on his or her behalf and saying you're wrong? Yes, we are going to. Or do they just know it's going to go to an appeal and they're going to lose? Because if the prosecutor's office is running things, it's probably not going to go very far.
You make a great point, Larry. A judge can say, well, I understand the people aren't asking for anything, but I've looked at this guy's rap sheet, and I'm setting a bail of $500,000. The defense attorney will object, but that's not usually a non-appealable issue unless the bail amount is outrageously high. So the judge can do it, and I think you've seen in these cities – where there are rogue prosecutors in place, judges pushing back and saying, you know what, I know you're not asking for bail. I'm setting bail here because I just can't in good conscience let this guy walk out of my courtroom. So that's what's happening. But most judges won't do that.
All right. I do appreciate your time, Cully. You and Zach, I know you've been at this for some time, and thank you. We've had Zach dealing with some of it, and you, and we'll be doing it again. Cully Stimson with Heritage Foundation, thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coming up, by the way, the California Attorney General has a warning against Black Lives Matter. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So the California Attorney General, which is very interesting here because this is a Democrat, the Washington Examiner has a letter from the Attorney General, Rob Bonta. He's from the Philippines, warning that the organization Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation Incorporated is delinquent with the Registry of Charitable Trust. It has been failing to submit annual required reports for the 2020 tax year. Now, the interesting thing is here, Black Lives Matter has been a fun catcher for anyone and everyone who thinks cops are racist, and if you think you're guilty of some sin that you didn't commit, but you're white, so you must be sinful and wrong, you've been giving money to Black Lives Matter. We've said this before. Where the hell does this money go? Many of the black communities have even been upset. Even in Ferguson, they said, we didn't get any Black Lives money, really. It's not going back in the communities to help the people that are victimized in those poor communities. It's not doing anything. It's going into the pockets of the founders. One of them, Patricia Kalores, has admitted, yeah, I'm a born Marxist, and that's my intent. And now she has taken her money and is buying 5 to 6 different homes and washing her hands of Black Lives Matter. Said, I'm moving on to another chapter of my life. I'm no longer going to be doing that because she's made her money. Now she's working with Disney or something like that on something that will, again, push Black Lives Matter. But the issue being that how much of this money has been circumvented, and even if you really were trying to help people that needed it and that were worthy of it, your money probably went to somebody who was able to have a few cocktails and a good steak on your money. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So the district attorney, or rather the attorney general in California, is making some waves by saying we're going after the Black Lives Matter Global Initiative. We'll see how that plays out. And then this story is coming out that this should be no surprise to you. This is a document regarded, quote, relocations out of Afghanistan. The meeting was held on the afternoon of August the 14th. Taliban fighters at that time were descending upon Kabul. They were already moving into Kabul. The meeting, chaired by the National Security Council, including senior members across multiple agencies, and the notes highlighting many critical actions the Biden administration was deciding at the last minute, just hours before Kabul would fall, and the former Afghan president would say, give me my bag of money, let's get on a helicopter and get the hell out of Dodge. While we've got Americans still stuck in Taliban as I speak. And we had a report the other day that at least 100 Afghans who were given special permits and were supposed to be given free passage to the U.S. because they did help our troops during those years of war, they got left behind. Others got on board the flights leaving without any documentation. We don't know if we brought in people deserving or we brought in people that are more jihadist. Because the Biden administration, oh, they claimed they were vetting. They claimed they were. They said they were going to vet them before they would bring them to the U.S., but they weren't. They finally admitted they weren't, that the final official vetting would take place in the U.S. In other words, they're already on our soil. So the Joe Biden White House, according to these documents released and obtained by Axios, was, quote, and this is, again, no surprise, unprepared in the days leading up to the fall of Kabul. Unprepared? That's a nice way of saying your bed looks a little messy rather than your room's been wrecked. Put it back together. All of these having to do with what was taking place on August the 14th. This is the afternoon while the Taliban fighters were descending on Kabul. They finally decided to notify local Afghan staff to begin to register their interest in relocation. And again, I'm looking at these reports. I don't see what they were doing for the Americans. Now, the National Security Council says, oh, listen, Axios is cherry-picking notes from one morning. You know what? Let's say that's true. Let's say they're just picking out these things because these make the Biden administration look the worst. So be it. But if it's a fact, it's a fact. You could cherry pick from the worst of the cherries. It's still a cherry. They want to claim that back on July 13th, we offered to help evacuate our partners. Then why do we have so many Americans still there? Why? Incompetence. Next hour, the CDC lying about restrictions.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.